roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside our beautiful home in Mountain's Edge, Las Vegas, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz, Ari's co-host. What's up, Goz?
Buenos dias, George.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, thank you. We have a few events to go over. Honestly, we'll circle around the UFC like sharks circling their prey, but I will give a couple results from some of the other events that took place this past weekend as MMA is starting to heat up. Not only did we have the UFC, we had Invicta, we had LFA, and we had one championship. So, we'll cover that. We'll cover, you know, UFC on Saturday was a strange evening. Had some upsets, and then we just had like, it was a jinx card, man. Just throughout the week, the day before, the day of, minutes before fights were supposed to happen, they just fell off. We were down to eight. So it was pretty crazy. And of course, as always, there's tons of news. We have an entertaining sport outside of the fights themselves. The drama is sometimes just as fun, at least for me. I'm a drama queen. I like some of that stuff that goes on. A really popular fighter says he'll accept. So right away, maybe he's unretired. I don't know. Anyway, folks, buckle up. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Monday, August 3rd. Here we go.
Damas y caballeros, hablemos MMA con Danny Segura.
Hola, amigos. Danny Segura here. Just wanted to drop in and tell you about a new show coming to MMA Junkie. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish-language podcast dedicated to all things professional fighting. On this show, we'll be covering the biggest news and topics of MMA, plus highlighting the most relevant stories happening in the growing Latin American scene. Hablemos MMA will also feature interviews with some of the best fighters, coaches, personalities, and experts in the game. You can find us every Monday on your favorite podcasting platform, starting July 27th. Talk to you then.
On Thursday, things heated up with Invicta FC 41. They went on Thursday over there at UFC Fight Pass. In the main event, Montserrat Ruiz went to 9-1 as she defeated Janicia Mardarin. Mexico defeated Brazil. Montserrat finished with a key lock, scarf hold. And I want to give a shout out to at MMA Odds. Joey Odessa actually called the
that submission,
the win and the submission, yeah.
Oh, wow.
How it would go down. So he was really, really spot on there. Definitely an OG in the world of gambling, especially combat sports, not just MMA, man. Follow him for boxing too.
Is it easy to bet on Invicta?
No. It's not. It's rarely available, and it's only available on fight night. Now, unless you go to the one of those big, like in the UK, Bet365 is huge. Mm-hmm. And then in Costa Rica, the big houses there, they'll have those types of, you know, plays. Mm. But for the North American audience, like, you know, like the BetMGM app or whatever, it's just tough to get, and it usually happens only on fight day. But, you know, Five Dimes, Bookmaker, BetDSI, those are big, and if you have accounts there, then you shouldn't have a problem finding the odds on the fights, the over-unders, and sometimes method of victory, you know, certain props. But again, UFC, like, UFC can have fight odds for, like, October. We already know that, October 24th, Justin Gaethje will challenge Khabib Nurmagomedov, and Khabib's minus 200 and Justin's plus 170. So UFC, you can definitely plan ahead, and those future type bets are fun because you can lock them in a little bit early if you feel strong one way or another. But the other ones, the smaller ones like LFA and Invicta, day of or just the day before, at least according to the houses I use. And that even goes for Contender Series tomorrow, by the way, starts. So she got consideration. You might hear her name on the rankings report this week. She went to 9-1. I'm impressed by her. But like the lowest ranked strawweight is Tisha Torres, who just broke that 4-fight losing streak when she beat Breonna Van Buren, I believe her name is. So, you know, she got a look. So did Erin Blanchfield, who won in the co-main event over Brogan Walker-Sanchez. She climbs to 6-1 in the flyweight division. I had to take a good look at the flyweights because we have Jennifer Maia, who defeated Joanne Calderwood and maybe earned herself a title shot. So there was a little bit of a spotlight there on that division as well. Caitlin Young, veteran of the sport, she got a win as well over LaToya Walker. They only had 5 fights over at Invicta, so there wasn't really too much to report per se. Over there, the following day, LFA had a fight card as well. Logan versus Rosales in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. They've kind of set up there goes the way the UFC set up in Jacksonville. I think they're going to have a run of 3 or 4 fight cards there that I guess the Native American reservation that they're on, I believe, is just welcomed them and said, hey, yeah, knock them out. 1, 2, 3, 4 here.
That's good.
It's at Sanford Pentagon. I think so, too.
It's the only way to do sports.
Security though. To the actual promotion to know this is our home. This is our where we're going to create our bubble. And, you know, I'd be lying if I told you, oh, yeah, I know exactly how it works. I'm pretty familiar now with how the UFC is running it. And then Bellator, we heard a little bit from Nolan King about the fight sphere and how they work. King Mo also told us. But I'm not too sure how this is working. This is on UFC Fight Pass as well. Bryce Logan defeated Jacob Rosales for the vacant lightweight title. 48-47s across the board. Other winners were Nick Brown, Joaquin Buckley, Kai Kamaka III, Gerald Scott, and Zach Pauga. Stamp Fairtex won over at ONE Championship as they were finally back in action. It was a lot of kickboxing and some MMA, I believe. I'm not sure. I didn't. That's the early Friday edition there of what goes down over at ONE Championship. But I didn't see any other major stars other than that Stamp Fairtex that I've heard of and seen a few times.
Well, all this is good news because aside from PFL, it just seems like MMA is really back, right? I mean, practically everybody's had their show.
Right.
At least one.
Right. And I think if PFL wasn't a season, like if they didn't run a season campaign, even they would probably have put together some sort of a card. Hell, we encouraged them to just put on a card, you know, regardless. But what you don't want to do is say, well, Lance Palmer's probably a poor example. He's the first one that came to my head. He's actually beefing right now with PFL, but let's just say you did say, all right, Lance, we're going to fight you in October. We're going to feature you. And let's just say he suffers a serious injury before the following. You know what I mean? To get the 50 and 50 payday. I'm not even sure what they get on some of those fights, 30 and 30, you know, because they have it's weighted down with the $1 million prize, you know, so whatever they're able to negotiate, let's just say 50-50. And he goes for it in October, wins it, and busts his shoulder or his knee, and now he misses the following season, which starts in May. That's, you know, he's looking at the big prize. He's won it 2 times already. Mm-hmm. And so now PFL could just not have those guys or gals, but wouldn't you want a Kayla Harrison or wouldn't you want a Lance Palmer or Ray Cooper III, you know, some of the ones that have started to become names for your organization. You would think that's who you would want. You're on ESPN. This is your chance. And look, most of the time those injuries don't happen, but I don't know. They made their decision, and I remember back then saying, eh, I respect it. You know, they're just going to come back. And when they made it, they didn't have as much info. They didn't have these fight spheres, and they didn't know how it was going to go. I mean, Major League Baseball goes has been a disaster.
It has. I mean, it's getting close to being canceled. Really, right. The way it has to be done is a bubble.
A bubble, yeah. And even those billion-dollar leagues, you got Lou Williams going to get lap dances in Atlanta. You know what I mean? Some athletes are just not non-believers or whatever, and everything that's going on, they're just not taking it as serious. So, I don't know, man.
I think they should do one show. One show, even if something bad happened, there's still plenty of time
before their seasons. With big names or without?
With a couple, I think.
Would the big names want to do it?
Oh, yeah.
I think the big names would Lance Palmer want to fight? Maybe he'd want to fight just to get the rust off.
I think so.
But would he want to fight knowing that, hey, I'm a million-dollar fighter now. You know, I go for the big bucks. I want to be ready to go for... Maybe, maybe not. Some of these fighters feel like they're indestructible.
I think they would all want to fight.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so I told you already about one championship. They, they had their fight card as well. So then we moved to the UFC on Saturday. That was me giving a hand to the UFC for yet again coming through, figuring it out one way or another. Mm-hmm. They only had 8 fights. They came down to 8 fights, and it started with Chris Gutierrez over Cody Durden. That was an interesting fight. If I'm not mistaken, this is the one where there was a 10-8 in the first round, and Durden had won it, but Gutierrez came back and won 2 10-9s. And I bring this up only because the draw is actually, if you ever get a chance, goes, if you know, like a lot of minimum bets are 25, but a minimum bets could be like $5. Just put a $5 on every fight to be a draw. The odds are like plus 7,000, which means on a $100 bet, you would win 7,000. That means you'd have to lose 70 of those bets before you get to a draw just to break even. Now, I think prior to this draw, there hadn't been any draws since I want to say either Jacksonville or right before Jacksonville.
It doesn't matter what the fight is, right?
Doesn't matter, yeah. Now, some of the houses have lowered it to 5,000, which means you got to go 50 fights without a draw. But if you can hit like 3 or 4 draws in 2 weeks, and I remember back in November there was 2 draws in one card. I mean, it's a good payday, because if you're $100 better and you win 7,000, that's 14,000. And let's just say you've lost 10,000. Let's just say you've bet 100 straight fights to be a draw, and you've handed over 10,000. Well, you just made back, all of it plus 4. Mm-hmm. That's why I think some of the houses lowered it to 50-1. Or what did I say? Instead of plus 7,000 to plus 5,000. Anyway, this one ended in a draw, but everybody that I know was getting excited when they saw that 10-8. Because if it's a 10-8 and the one guy that won the 10-8 gasses, then you know that the 10-9s are possible to come the other way. And all you need is 2 judges to agree, not one.
You get a majority.
Yeah. All right, Jamal Emmers defeated Vincent Cachero. Emmers looked good. I've always liked this kid. I've seen him through LFA. This
I think is the guy that's kind of
earned his way through LFA. Rather than, we keep talking about the Dana White Contender Series being another way to just get into the UFC. I've seen Emmers kind of earn it through LFA. And you are correct. I thought so too as well.
I thought he had him hurt pretty bad. I think that was the time to put him away. It could have happened, I think.
Mm-hmm. Nathan Maness defeated Johnny Munoz. Munoz had a point deducted due to the groin strikes. 29-27 there.
Just over and over on those. Like, at some point, you got to just say, all right, I'm not trying to do this on purpose, but literally every single one I'm throwing is landing. I got to stop. Otherwise, points are going to start getting taken away. Even when the point got taken away, he was still throwing them, and he came pretty close. I thought that was one that the ref didn't see.
I know, man. those were some featherweight bouts. So we had a bantamweight bout, two featherweights, and then we get to the catchweight because Martinez, Jonathan Martinez and Frankie Saenz was fought at 140.5 pounds. That one ended with Jonathan Martinez defeated Frankie Saenz. Frankie Saenz, look, he's 40, man. He was tough wrestler, tough fighter, but he's just way past his prime. I guess he's a tough out, but that he was getting beat up. And I didn't want to see him kind of get pummeled like that. Which we'll kind of talk a little bit about that in the main event. You know, whether referees or corners just need to maybe save their fighters a little bit. Who knows? Now we get to, I guess, the main card. Bobby Green versus Lando Venata. This actually wound up being fight of the night as well. What'd you think of this one?
I thought it was a great fight. Those guys were beating the crap out of each other. But you felt like Bobby Green took Lando Venata's best shot and it just didn't faze him. And I think he knew that. So he was willing to take a few and give some of his. And he put Lando down quite a few times in that fight. You just felt like even though a fighter always has a puncher's chance, it just didn't seem like it was going to be Lando's night. He was hitting Bobby and I think maybe even hurting him a little bit, but it just never seemed like it was going to go his way. Every round seemed like it would go Bobby Green's way. And Bobby was even able to mix in a little bit of the wrestling. So I thought it was a good performance for him.
Yeah. I thought Venata coming out of the first fight showed me that he had a really good chance of winning the second fight. But I've noticed Bobby fought well a few months ago in his previous fight. So I was like, okay, I kept going back and forth on this one. Venata just... Boy, remember I told you there's a few guys that I just can't get it right when it comes to gambling on them. Venata's one of them. And that's why I try not to do it as much. A few of the sharps I knew liked them. One didn't. And I wound up going with them only because of the result of the first fight that ended in a draw. I went back on this back and forth so much that I actually had Green on my staff picks. I just kept going back and forth on it all week. In the end, I think if he had won the first round and going into the third, it would have been a little bit different, but I thought Green had kind of sealed those first two rounds and Venata he has this low fight. He can turn into a low fight IQ guy at some point because he kind of goes for it and headhunts.
I think he came close a couple times throwing that head kick where I think if it would have landed a little better, maybe could have stopped Bobby. But for the most part, it just Bobby was too quick for him, I think.
Yeah. And then he even resorted to getting the fight to the ground a little bit. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but Bobby wrestled as well. And he doesn't really get talked about because he's basically a kickboxer, you know, who talks to you, talks trash to you while he fights you. And he's from the hood, you know, and he's had a rough life. He actually wrestled too. So really, really, really good win for Bobby Green. And he got an extra 50K. And I think we got his vote for best media source as well.
Yeah, that was funny.
For the World MMA Awards. Folks, if you haven't voted, I can't imagine it's going to last too much longer. Go to worldmmaawards.com and do your votes. It's all trophies given away by fan vote, and we're up for best media source. Two of our colleagues are up for best journalist, John Morgan and Mike Vaughn. We always say, we'll take your vote. If you gladly are offering it, we'd love to have your vote. But even if we don't get it, go in there and vote. Go in there and vote. And there's a whole bunch of different categories, including, you know, best fighter, best gym, ref of the year, ring card girl of the year, everything, biggest upset. Go in there and check it out, worldmmaawards.com. I think they're going to be wrapping it up soon, but we would definitely love to get your vote for best media source. Everyone's been working their asses off. It's been a tough year. It's been a challenging year for a lot of people in many ways. Okay, so we get past that fight, and now we get to Vicente Luque versus Randy Brown. That was fun. I liked it. I'm a big fan of Luque. Randy Brown is you know, he's tall and has that jab, but he really couldn't get it going. Vicente Luque was hammering those legs.
He was one step ahead. Mm-hmm. You could just tell it was going to be his night. That's a tough cat, dude.
And then the knee that put him away, followed up with punches just before the end of round two. Vicente Luque gets the win over Randy Brown. Brown, I think, is got about an 8-4 UFC record. Maybe I'm giving him too much. He's not bad.
Mm-hmm. He just can't seem to put overall. It all together.
And it looks like he's had, about 10 fights in the UFC. He's lost 4 of them, and I guess he's won 6 of them. He's beaten Brian Camozzi, Mickey Gall, Brian Barberina, Warley Alves. Those last two are really, really good wins, but he came up short against Nico Price, Bilal Muhammad, Vicente Luque. He just can't seem to get past that next level, which is probably like 10 to 15. Mm-hmm. So imagine once you start getting into the ones that are, in the top 10. Those are just even tougher fighters. He's going to have to see if he can overcome that. But let's focus on Vicente Luque, who won 6 in a row, then lost a couple in a row. One of them was Stephen Thompson. The other one was, I got to cheat here and look. Oh, no, it was just Stephen Thompson. Then he came back and won Nico Price and Randy Brown. And the Price win was just a few months ago in Jacksonville. Yeah, so now he's won 8 of 9. Including back in the day, Nico Price. So he's 2-0 against Price there. Mike Perry, Brian Barberina. Performance of the night, too, for Luque.
Mm-hmm. They deserve it.
Yeah. We go on to the co-main event. Jennifer Maia defeated Joanne Calderwood. This was a huge loss for Joanne Calderwood, who was supposed to fight Valentina Shevchenko, who is not ready to compete yet. And it looks like Jennifer Maia may have stolen that from her. She armbarred her. Got her title shot, at least according to Dana White. Also took home a bonus. And then Joanne Calderwood, her problems weren't over. She fainted after the fight. They were doing the post-fight medicals, and she fainted backstage. They rushed her to the hospital. Apparently, everything checks out. Mm-hmm. So she's in good spirits.
But they don't, really nice young lady. Why.
Yeah, they don't.
That's scary, because that would be two fighters on that card that fainted. And come on. I mean, we hear about the UFC all the time that, of course, fighters get nervous, fighters get scared, but I don't know too many fighters that have passed out, let alone two on one card. If you really have no explanation for it, no physical explanation, then it's more than likely like a stress thing or a mental thing, and that's rough. You know, maybe it's these times that we're all going through, having to fight in these times, but that's a scary thing, man. And then add on like all the other fights that went off. Like, this card was cursed.
Big time. And that's a good point, because they've pulled off about 100 fights between Jacksonville and Vegas and then over there at Fight Island. And physically, a lot of them seem to be doing good. But yeah, this one looked different. Vegas heat can't be that much different from Vegas heat the first time, Florida humidity and heat, and Fight Island heat, which is on another level. It must be some sort of a mental block, or who knows. Now we're all at the point where in this pandemic, it's different. For a lot of people, the $600 payment, that stimulus ended this past week. For a lot of people, between unemployment and that, or the CARES Act and that, you were getting a little bit of a compensation for what you were losing. But now there's the pressures of school is starting again. Small business loan, you know, maybe they've gone through all the money there. I mean, I can't keep tabs on everything, but I just know that things are really, really starting to become different now. And I've said it from the beginning. I think COVID-19 is what scares me, is what looms ahead on the side of mental, you know, depression for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, a bunch.
Yeah, and this fight card was snake bit, because Kunitskaya was going to fight on this one. She got moved to next week. I remember that. Then we had Trevin Giles and Ed Hermond. They were... Wait.
They Ed were Hermond on the verge was fight. Of fighting.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Giles was going to fight Holland, and that fight got pulled off. Mearshart was going to fight Herman, right?
Because that left that left Herman
and Holland, except and they Herman said he had started boozing or something like that. Yeah,
they could have actually had a fight. Like, Dana made that call.
Yeah, Mearshart was COVID-19. And then Holland versus Giles, that one got pulled the day of, I guess. Giles fainted
Before his walkout. So as he was about to get ready to, like, their prep point of getting ready to walk out,
right,
he fainted.
Exactly. Timur Valiyev, he was supposed to fight Emers, and that's when Cachero stepped in. That was a couple days before for undisclosed reasons. I don't know if that'll turn out to be COVID-19. Then we got Ray Borg. He was removed as well. A few weeks ago, he was removed because of his kid, but I don't think this one was kid-related, and I don't want to just assume and say COVID-19. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but he also couldn't fight, and so that's when Munoz and Manus became a fight. So I'm telling you, this one was a mess. Eric Spicely, same thing. He had a bad weight cut. He was going to fight Marcus Perez. Martinez came in heavy. I mean, that's snake bit. The fight happened, but still. At least Sainz gets his 30%.
Yeah. So I guess a lot of these fighters, they didn't get their show up, but they got a percentage of it.
Right. So that, I don't think that's fair to Holland. I don't think that's fair to Herman. Neither. I think history has shown us that if you make weight, you for sure solidify that. I think the UFC has actually paid a lot of these fighters some money, their show, even if they haven't gotten to make the weight stage. But these guys made the weight. They should get their full pay. Now, a few of the other guys, I don't know what's going to happen with them. I don't think, I mean, Ray Borg, Eric Spicely, Timur Valiyev, you know, you want to say that's on you. But if it's COVID-19 related, then I could see them getting something. I think the fair thing is if you didn't make weight and it's whatever happened was on you, you sit down across from a UFC executive and maybe you start with how much was camp? How much did you spend on camp? Look, I was going to make 50 and 50. My camp cost me 10,000. Because what the UFC says is we're going to just rebook you on a feature card. So we're going to throw you on next week. We're going to throw you on the week after. Like, Holland and Herman could fight next week. Now, Herman was supposed to fight as a light heavyweight, so they'd have to agree, maybe. I don't know. And Holland has told us that he can do 170 or 185, but I don't know if he's that open. He doesn't seem to be scared of anybody, but I don't know if he's all willing to go all the way to just 205.
He'd be small.
Right. So it would just be... maybe negotiable. If the UFC can get you on a fight card soon, then boom, you're set. If they can't, then I'm telling you, man, this is a tough sport, and a lot of these fighters are counting on that check. They want to hop on that plane and go home with that check.
Especially in these times.
So I would say, what was your camp? What do you owe your coaches? Because you may not have fought, but your coaches prepared you to fight. You know, you paid your chiropractor. You paid your gym dues. That doesn't come back. So something like that I think is fair. So let's say you make 50 and 50 and you go, look, my camp cost me 10,000. Maybe tack on another 10 or 15 at the least.
Aren't these like really,
if not, at the end of the day, show? I mean, I don't know, man.
Aren't they peanuts that really we're arguing over?
Like, I don't know, because the UFC can argue we're not getting any gate.
Yeah, but look at the guys that are on the card, right? It's not like we're even talking about the guys on the main event, which even those guys,
well, Herman's don't on make his 25th fight
that much. Yeah, but Herman can't be making that much. Like, really, if we're talking, I got to imagine we're not talking about that much money.
I bet you Herman makes more than 50 and 50.
I know, but if you give him at least a show up.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, for sure. I want them all to get their show. But whoever didn't, like Eric Spicely passing out, Ray Borg going home for undisclosed reasons or just getting pulled or whatever, we don't know. I mean, I think the UFC at some point is like, bro, you didn't fight. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how many checks can they just write out? Like, Holland was prepared to fight. He needs a check. Herman was prepared to fight. He needs a check. Mearshart got COVID-19. I don't know. I guess you can come to some sort of an agreement with him, but
no, I'm more talking about the guys that just didn't Mearshart have a hand
go to a
in
strip
it
club. You know, I don't know. Yeah. We don't know all the details. He may have brought it on himself. Like Lou Williams, NBA player, filthy rich, I imagine. He left to attend a funeral, and then what do you know? He went to his favorite place that serves food. It was a strip club, and so they got to isolate him for 10 days. I mean, the Clippers must be like, motherfucker, like, well, the rest of us are sacrificing here. You know what I mean? So that's kind of on him. I don't know how the NBA collecting bargaining agreement is, but I got to imagine that cost him some money. So every case is different. I don't know what may have happened, but the ones that made weight and were ready to fight, like Holland and Herman, they should get paid full pay for, at least the show. And then hopefully they get booked here in the next week or two, and then boom, no problem. But that's just as stressful as stressing over COVID-19 is that money that you were kind of counting on. Anyway, all right, let's get to the main event. All right, Derek Brunson defeated Edmund Shahbazyan in the main event. We kind of want to make this its own segment, I guess. This was a fun fight. Let me tell you something. I really enjoyed it. I was left with a little bit of a, is that it? After Whitaker and Till. Not that I didn't appreciate the chess match that was Whitaker versus Till, but I like a little violence. I'm just going to be honest. All right, I get it. They might, you know, they may never be the same, their bodies, their brains, but this is what we signed up for. I like a good hit in football. I am not for the, when it happens, when my team knocks out the other team's quarterback, no one's high-fiving harder than me. No one's yelling harder than me. A good sack is a momentum shift, especially if it's one of those where they can spill the ball and the defensive team picks it up and runs it the other way. And once you score the touchdown, you go, ooh, I think he's down. That's when I come back to being a human being and go, oh, man, I hope it's nothing serious or whatever. But for that moment, I love violence. Same thing goes for MMA. Brunson and Shahbazyan were hitting each other really, really hard, something that I didn't get in Till and Whitaker. Oh, what do you know? They were in a smaller cage too. But anyway, whole other topic. So I really like this fight. Plus goes, Brunson was a big dog, plus 270, and I had a feeling I can
really?
Oh yeah, I was on Staff Picks.
You put him on Staff Picks too?
And I bet him too. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I it's not that I haven't fallen in love with Shahbazyan. Obviously, if you beat Brad Tavares, you got to be pretty good because Tavares is an accomplished middleweight. But this whole thing with like the race to get to the title is like, whoa, you know, from Tavares, you still got to go through a couple more killers to get to Israel, who's undefeated for crying out loud, or Costa, whoever winds up winning that fight. So I was a little cool on that talk still. I hadn't seen championship skills just yet. And Brunson, who's 15 years older, even though his losses are what? Romero, Jacare, Izzy, and Whitaker. Who did I just name? I just named like
cats.
Some killers. There's one guy in there that's, oh, Anderson. I thought he won the Anderson fight. All right. But anyway, he's really only lost to the top guys, but he is 37. But he wrestled. He wrestled and he punched. He left his chin out a couple times, which is the worst thing
that's
he can do.
That's the thing he does.
He does it a lot. And Shahbazyan hit him with some really, really good strikes. But Brunson came back and won. That eye poke kind of shifted things a little bit. Both guys went through they gassed and then recovered and then gassed. But either way, I enjoyed it. This just capped off a pretty good evening for me. It started off slow, and then all of a sudden some of my parlays and stuff came through. So I really, really enjoyed the main event. Good win for Derek Brunson. And then Shahbazyan, you know, he's just going to have to come back from this.
Yeah, I instantly, well, I wouldn't want to say instantly. Well, yeah, kind of instantly started to feel dumb because I did take Shahbazyan. But when Derek Brunson started doing Derek Brunson, I thought, that's right. Like, this dude, really, when you look at his losses, it's only the top guys. And what he does is just put a ton of pressure on people. Some people fold and some people don't. But this fight in particular, this seemed like the fight where he was able to tie everything together. That aggression, but maybe not a little bit of the carelessness that we've seen in other fights. So to me, it was a great performance, but it almost seems like every main event carries some kind of controversy, and this one had a little bit too.
It did. I've always had a soft spot for Brunson just because he was Strikeforce as well when he was fighting he fought Jacare once there, and I think he fought him once in the UFC. But La Bamba Sayers and a few other guys, like Nate James that he fought back in the day. So he's been around for a long time. But he had a win streak. After he lost the Romero fight, he beat Lorenz Larkin, Ed Herman, Sam Alvey, Juan Carnero, and Uriah Hall. Those are decent names, man. Anyway, you slice the pie, those are decent names. Then he lost to Whitaker and Silva. Again, I thought he beat Silva. He smashed Machida and Kelly. And then he lost to Jacare and Izzy. Now, since then, he's bounced back with Theodoro, Hainsch, and Shabazian. That's why when he was talking at the press conference, going, man, I'm getting disrespected here. Like, what the fuck, you know? I kind of get his point. Because the guys he's lost to have really been all right. He's had a long career. Whatever, though. He's got a long reach, and he's a guy that, again, will mix his wrestling with the striking. I think what Henry Hooft has done is he's settled them down, you know, over there at Sanford MMA. And you know those guys love to go for the kill, but I think he settled them down and said, look, you're coming out of the gate too fast. This isn't a sprint, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Slow down a little bit, take your time, blend all your martial arts, all the different sports that you've trained, and then let's see what happens. Now, with Shabazian, he's got a lot of room to get better. I like him. It's not that I dislike him either. I thought the fight ended in round two.
Yeah, I think a lot of us
when he came back, I knew he was fucked up, but I was on the momentum of I need to hit my parlays, so I was like, well, whatever happens, happens. If they send him out, Brunson just needs to take off where he was. And finish him, and if they waive it, then they waive it. Either way, I'm good. But part of me was like, man, he looks pretty fucked up. I mean, when they were showing those replays, that ground and pound at the end was pretty vicious. But I always say I side with the fighter. The corner, obviously, was they regrouped him, and they said he was ready to come out. He stood up. Herb Dean calls in the referee, and you know, he goes out there and gets pummeled, and I thought Herb Dean's actions were all right. I think Herb Dean kind of told him, I'm keeping an eye on you, you know, and then the first sign of him, you know, getting pummeled, Herb Dean just said that was enough. I really wasn't too displeased with everything other than the referee seemed a little inexperienced compared to the doctor. Yeah, compared to other exchanges that I've seen with fighters.
Man.
Because it's kind of like an eye. Can you see? Yes. Okay, then the fight can continue. But if not, maybe, you know, we give you some sort of an exam or whatever. But I think the doctor should be able to recognize, is he concussed and ready to go or not? Dana obviously went a little overboard saying he talked to him for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But still.
At the end of us watching at home, I think it was fairly obvious, fairly clear that I think he went out on that last punch. You know, his eyes were pretty glazed over. I don't know that the doctor sees that, especially with the round ending. Like, he's up off his seat and getting ready to go, right? So I don't even know that he's, like, looking at replays or anything like that. But I think you could tell he was pretty jacked up.
Well, but he didn't come in till the end of the round.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he's got the replays and everything at his disposal. And the view of the fight itself, whether he watches on a screen or the fight in front of him. So unless he's like five rows back eating popcorn, I don't know.
He's communicating with because like a contender series, you know, we're very close, and I see the doctors. They're kind of moving around sometimes, and so as soon as the round's over, I think that's when commission officials start to communicate, you know? So I don't know if he's sitting there looking at replays or anything like that. But I think you could kind of tell Shabazian was out of it a little bit. He didn't have that whole getting up and stumbling back to the round. Like,
Remember that lady?
He did a pretty good drunk walk, you know, like he made it to the stool. Mm-hmm. But what lady?
Was her name Margaret Goodman? Was she a doctor? There was a lady that used to come in for the UFC and walk in and ask you a question. And right away, she'd do an about face. She either knew you were fucked up,
but if you
answered the question pretty good, she just turned around and said, okay, he's ready to go or not. This just seemed a little bit more like an exam, I guess. So.
I think by the time the doctor got to him.
I wasn't like offended or anything by any of the actions. Don't get me wrong.
I think by the time the doctor got to him, Edmund was able to put on a pretty good performance, a decent performance. Mm-hmm. But see, what's interesting for me is the lasting effects from the last controversy, right? And it involves Herb Dean again. So, and I'm not faulting Herb Dean here. I think he did a good job. But I could tell that
there was... What happened with the Trinaldo fight?
Yeah.
In Fight Island?
Uh-huh. I could tell that there's a little bit of lasting effect there. So I personally think it probably should have been stopped at the end of the round. I mean, he just looked jacked up. But when he came back out, he had a very shorter leash. And once Brunson started landing again, it wasn't like it was one shot that looked like it was going to put him down. It just seemed like just a couple shots that were landed and Herb had enough. And I think that's him just not wanting to hear it from everyone else. You let another one go too far.
I think that was his way of saying, I'm going to let you come out, but any sign of adversity, I'm calling it. So I'm giving you that chance because you've had 60 seconds to recover. Your corner's tended to you. The doctor's already cleared you, but I'm keeping an eye on you, that type of thing.
I liked
Herb's actions in that.
If I had to guess, his actions to me almost said, I feel like the doctor was wrong. He shouldn't have let this get out.
Well, then why didn't he stop it at the end of round two?
Herb Dean?
Yeah.
Why? That's not his job. He's got to let the doctor look him over, right? So then when the round started, like, I just think his leash was so short that I think he was very aware, and I think he thought
he must have got up and walked to his corner in a satisfactory mode for Herb to not call the doctor in sooner and for him to allow him to even stand up for round three. That's something that when they go away to a commercial or if, you know, everyone's like, how'd you score? Or you jump on Twitter, you're not paying attention. But I think the referee pays attention to the guy that got jacked up on the bottom, usually. Sees how they stand up and how they go to their corner. And usually they'll walk with them and look at them. So Herb must have determined, all right, let's see what the corner can do. And let's see if they can revive him. Almost like, who was the ref in the Max Roshkop fight? Was that Herb as well?
I don't know.
I don't remember who that one was. But in that one, the referee gave... Or they gave him all 60 seconds to work, you know. At that point, I think, man, may have been Herb. I remember Robert Drysdale telling Max, come on, you know, just get in there, just get in there, just get in there. And then right as the commission official, I think, alerted Herb or whoever the ref was, they went back and then they questioned him again. And then Max said, right when he said, we're done, I'm done, so did Robert Drysdale. He goes, we're done. Because he knew my 60 seconds were up. I did whatever I could to keep my fighter in the game, but he doesn't want to fight, so we're done. And that's why I didn't give Robert Drysdale that hard of a time, because I think he did his job as a cornerman to try and keep his fighter in the game up until it was official, and he didn't. It's not like he insisted after that. No.
Well, remember, there's no fans, too. So it could have just been Herb Dean hearing the commentators going, oh, look right here, it looks like he's out, or whatever. That could have even triggered him, like, whoa.
In this fight?
Yeah, because there's nobody there. I mean, you can literally hear everybody speaking.
Maybe.
So there's so many different things that could have went down, but...
I mean, if you fought, you trust Herb, right?
Yeah.
I would want him to ref mine. I mean, he's not the only one. I would want Herzog. I trust these guys.
Yeah, I don't even know that there's a guy that I'd say hands. I don't trust.
If a fighter has a problem with Herb Dean, I'd be like, whoa, man. He must have, like, I guess, effed you a couple times.
They all make mistakes.
Because I think they enter with a clean slate each time. I don't think they carry anything. You know, I don't think they harbor any feelings. And especially after 20 years. Maybe a young Herb might be like, fuck that motherfucker or whatever. But 20 years in, thousands of fights, I think they know. You know, it doesn't hurt their feelings or anything like that. I remember when he received one of his World MMA Awards for Best Referee. I remember him saying, it's a thankless job. You know, nobody says, hey, you had a great night tonight, you know? It's basically just, what were you thinking in the so-and-so fight? And that's it. Anyway, folks, that was the UFC Fight Night 31 or UFC Brunson versus Shabazian card, whatever you want to call it. Was it Fight Night 31? That one was going off memory goes.
It's 31.
31, okay. And, they were down to 8 fights. A lot of them fell apart. Keep an eye on MMA Junkie throughout the week, and I'm sure we'll fill in the details on maybe what happened with some of these fighters that were fainted, and hopefully we don't have too many COVID infections. I mean, this stuff can happen They test them, I think, one more time before they leave. So hopefully, because they're all in the same hotel as well. So even though they're all in a bubble, if something slips up, it can be dangerous in that bubble. Elevator buttons, the common areas, you know, where they eat. Shit can go down, man. Just some quick notes here. Look, Mike Perry issued an apology. He realizes he needs help. I wish he would have actually apologized to the guy he hit. He kind of just said, I need help, and then I'm sorry to the UFC and my sponsors or something.
I need to be better.
Yeah, but he actually didn't really, like, directly, I guess, apologize. That's where PR needs to step in, honestly. Hablemos MMA dropped with Valerie Lareda. Check that out. Danny Segura working that one. Dana White turned 51, goes. What else? Conor McGregor says, I accept. The only problem is we don't know what he was accepting. think Dana said the Khamzat Chimaev fight that was proposed by Chimaev. Mm-hmm. But who knows? Arlovski and Tanner Boser. Boser really is keeping his word. He wants to stay busy. Although he wants that damn Maurice Greene.
Yeah, he won't let that one go.
He should
huh?
just keep calling him out even if he wins. Well, at some point, he may just, you know, there might be other fighters he wants to face. I don't want to see bigger steaks to fry or whatever. But, you know, you start to move up. Sometimes you forget about who's behind you. And then other than that, let me see. Vicente Luque says, I want Nate Diaz. Everyone kind of had a laugh at that, but he had a good sense of humor. Can't blame him for offering it. Dana White's kind of committed to Jennifer Maia versus Valentina Shevchenko now that Calderwood lost. Dana White Contender Series kicks off tomorrow. Check it out on UFC Fight Pass. There's a complete guide to Season 4 by Nolan King on our front page. You just got to scroll down a little bit. We have all the scorecards from the official scorecards from UFC on ESPN Plus 31. So if you're ever curious, what were the scores going into round three? You know, did somebody give somebody round two? Whatever. That stuff's there. I felt like there was one other big deal. Cannonier versus Whitaker. That's huge. UFC 243.
It needs to happen, though. I think it's the right choice.
A few things went down since we last spoke to you guys on Thursday. So scroll back and check it out there on MMA Junkie. Dana White kind of chimed in on what Goz was talking about with Herb Dean and Dan Hardy. He was very clear about what he wants to see going forward. And that's kind of what I want from the leader of the promotion, is to address something quickly, you know, do a little investigation, address it, and then just give your statement. Now let's hope that he sticks to that. That doesn't mean I want someone to get fired or whatever, but that's what is part of the consistency that a lot of the hardcore fans want. All right, folks, we're going to get on out of here. Enjoy your day, and we will see you all on Wednesday. Sportscaster.
Bruce Buffer is our guest.
Bruce Buffer is our guest. 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Until then, go out and be a champion.